On the Business Hub today then, on Stray FM, we are talking about something which I believed, before we went into this, I thought this was purely about spam. We are talking data protection law. And here from Berwyn Solicitors, I have Mike Patterson. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Beth.
Tell me what kind of a solicitor you are and what Berwyn's tend to do and where you are based as well.
I'm a director and a solicitor within our employment and business teams. We, as a firm, are a multi-service law firm for businesses and individuals. Our head office is in Harrogate. We've been based there for over 30 years, recognised in legal directories for expertise and specialisms across Yorkshire.
Now, the area that you focus on, how involved is that in data protection? What is that? What is data?
Well, data itself, it's something that, as you say, might include spam, but effectively, personal data is information which relates to a living person like you and I. And from that information, we can be identified, and that could impact or identify from personal, family, business or professional life. So when we look at data protection and privacy, as you say, it's a bit of a buzz phrase that we use and hear every day. It's all around handling that personal data in terms of when and how it can be processed.
And it's so easy, isn't it, this day and age as well, to just give it readily away. I don't know if this is the relevant part of it, but sometimes if you download an app now, it says, do you want to sign up or do you just want to log in through Facebook? Does that mean, really, you're just giving people your data quite freely, aren't you?
Yeah, correct. As you say, the reality is, you know, a lot of the time we're giving the data away when we don't know it. Obviously, we don't mind doing that because the whole part of technology, especially, is to make our lives easier and more social. Often, like Facebook, for example, or any other social media, we're doing that. Maybe sharing photos, we're commenting on other posts by friends and family. Usually online, we book things, we pay for them, we enter draws. And like you say, we tick these boxes or we untick these boxes thinking that we're not going to get that information. But yeah, we are sharing that information and data every time we do this.
You also regularly come into contact with companies who have to handle data. So like anyone, you know, Stray FM, if we have a competition, which a lot of people enter competitions, they win prizes, they give us their data, and we then have that. How are companies supposed to deal with that data?
It's a good question. And obviously, currently, data protection law and how companies, which they're defined as data controllers or data processors, how they handle and use that information and data is covered by the Data Protection Act. This is a legislation that goes back over 20 years. But what the big change coming in May this year, 2018, is a change to that to reflect how data is held and stored.
But I bet that must have been quite a long time coming. If we go back 20 years to 1998, the world is very different to what it was in 98, isn't it?
Absolutely. The way we interact, the way we work, and obviously with technology, the way it's changed, the protection's got to change with that. So the point of the General Data Protection Regulations, which are commonly known as the GDPR, is to reflect that change and ensure that there's more protection given to individuals on the handling of data.
What are the changes then, Mike? What's the difference between what was set 20 years ago and what will be set from May this year?
Well, essentially, Beth, under the GDPR, the main elements of data protection, including what constitutes personal data and what processing means, largely remains the same, but there's a few sort of key highlights and changes to be aware of. Firstly, there's sort of enhanced rights for what they call the data subject, which is you and I as an individual. We'll have greater rights than before with direct control over the usage, retention and movement of our personal data. And this might include, for example, the right to be forgotten. So data that you've provided to a third party, you can request that it's erased and removed. Also, the right of portability, so moving information from one organisation to another, effectively data controller from one to another. That's another entitlement and enhanced right. But one of the main ones that also centres around consent. I mentioned about that organisations will have to be a lot more clear and unambiguous about why they need that data and how they're going to process that. And obviously you mentioned about the sort of opt-in and opt-out tick boxes. You know, they've got to be clear and reassess what they do and how they go about that as well.
What would your advice be to companies who, they may have heard about this and they may sort of have it on their to-do list, or this may be completely new to them? They haven't heard that there's going to be any changes with regards to data protection.
Well, my immediate advice would be act now. Start to build your own awareness. Look within the organisation as to the key people and decision makers. Obviously, enlist the support of external people like ourselves from a legal point of view as to what you need to do to comply, and then start doing what you need to with regards to minimising the risks, because it is probably worthwhile just highlighting what those risks are if you do get it wrong.
What are the risks?
Well, in terms of the risks, the main are financial. The organisation, the regulation body, the Information Commissioner's Office that would be enforcing the GDPR can enforce massive fines, and the fines themselves are up to 20 million euros.
Oh my goodness.
Up to 4% of annual turnover.
I definitely don't think people have that lying around in a bank account, do they?
Well, they'd need to have a fairly big bank account anyway.
If they do, give us a call. So if people want to obviously avoid those fines, then 20 million euros or 4% of your annual turnover, that's a huge amount of money, and that's not something to just mess around with. So companies can get in touch with Berwyn's solicitors. They can talk to you, Mike, or another member of the team. What's the best method for them to get in touch with you?
We've got a website there which has got myself and other team members who can assist and help. You can contact us by email, by telephone. The direct dials are obviously on the website as well. What we would say is we're already working with a number of clients and companies across the region, helping them to prepare. So the message is really act now and make sure you take the necessary steps.
Fantastic. Mike from Berwyn Solicitors, thank you so much. And we'll put lots of details as well at strayfm.com/business, so people can find you just as easily as well.
Thank you very much, Beth.